You're listening to Security Wire Weekly, a CertSecurity.com podcast for July 9th, 2008. Welcome to the program. I'm Rob Westerveld. In this edition, we'll talk about smartphone security on the heels of Apple's release of iPhone 3G. Mobile security expert Tom Cross joins us. Tom is with IBM's X-Force security research team. Also, the news, a dangerous DNS server flaw has been patched, and Microsoft investigates 2 zero-days. Up next, smartphone security on the heels of the Apple iPhone 3G release. But first, this message.
When it comes to analyzing a network, protecting enterprise data, or fighting malware, you can plop down thousands of dollars for a commercial product, or you can get tons of great functionality from a free tool. Let CertSecurity.com show you how some of the industry's best free and open source tools work in our exclusive screencast series. Each month, one of CertSecurity.com's best experts will offer a step-by-step video presentation showing you how to use the most powerful tools and software, including Nessus, Snort, UTM, and so much more. And it's all free. Don't wait. Watch and learn today. Visit CertSecurity.com/screencast. That's CertSecurity.com/screencast.
And we're back. Apple is releasing iPhone 3G, and throngs of fans are lining up for it on Friday. For the first time, the popular smartphone will have features that enable it to easily connect to company systems. And joining us to talk about that is Tom Cross. He's a mobile security expert with IBM's X-Force security research team. Tom offers up some tips about smartphone security and also about protecting data in an environment with increased use of devices like the iPhone.
More end users are actually going to be using smartphones. At least that's what we believe. We've got Apple's new iPhone coming out on July 11th. We've got the BlackBerry Thunder, which is highly anticipated coming out soon, and that also has a touch screen. With an explosion of smartphones in the hands of end users, Tom, what does this mean for enterprises? Are they going to have to be more aware of what their end users are using?
Enterprises are going to be bringing these phones in because of demand from their users now, in addition to their own interest in keeping their users connected. So they're going to be actually setting up servers that provide devices like iPhones with access to enterprise email and internet servers.
Okay, so it's going to be a policy issue then, because some enterprises right now just let their end users pick and choose exactly what they want to use, and other enterprises can take a different route and actually provide cell phones to their end users, correct?
That's true. So there's a question of what platforms enterprises are going to support. There's also a question about, particularly about third-party software. Some of the malware that's been distributed so far for some of these phone platforms has sort of consisted of third-party applications that, you know, have some rogue functionality. So there's a risk involved in allowing people who have access to enterprise networks from these phones to download any third-party software that they can find. Businesses might want to create a policy that at least says you can only install digitally signed software. And I'm not exactly sure how Apple's going to run their third-party software repository. In the case of BlackBerry, they do have a digital signature system, and software developers can sign up to get their software signed. But it is possible to install unsigned software on a BlackBerry. It's as easy as sort of saying okay on this window that pops up that says, "Are you sure?" And that's certainly a way that malicious people can get their malware onto these devices.
I want to get back to the policy part of this. Do enterprises have any say in, they don't have any policy whatsoever, and end users go out and purchase a smartphone such as an iPhone? Can they have any effect on how that person connects to the network?
Well, generally speaking, an enterprise has to allow those devices to access their network. There is a VPN client on the new iPhone, and it's possible that VPN client could be configured to access Cisco VPNs, even if the person operating that VPN hasn't explicitly or specifically allowed that phone platform to be used as a client. Mm-hmm. But access to corporate mail and most of these other features requires a proactive action on the part of the company. Usually they set up a server that specifically serves a particular phone platform. In the case of BlackBerry, it's called a BlackBerry Enterprise Server. The BlackBerrys connect to it, they get their email, and the Enterprise Server can push policies down to the BlackBerrys that allow the Enterprise to control what the end users can do with them. That's going to be the case with Apple's iPhone as well.
What's the alternative?
Well, the end user would not have access to things like corporate email from their phone unless the enterprise sets up one of these servers. The server is the means by which the phones get access to corporate resources. So the enterprise is not necessarily exposed to a lot of risk if they don't decide to set up a server and they don't choose to allow these devices to provide them with access. But that's not really what we want to, the goal that we want to achieve, I guess, as security professionals.
Let's talk briefly here about smartphone architecture. Has it changed a lot over the past few years, and what has changed in terms of security?
Okay. Well, as a technologist, I think that the development of smartphone technology is one of the most exciting things that's happening right now in IT. You know, in the past few years, these devices have gone from primarily telecommunications tools to being very flexible, you know, sort of personal computing systems that can run a wide array of software that are integrated with location-based services that have built-in digital cameras. So they become very, very sophisticated. And there's a lot of, I think, pent-up demand for the sort of access to data at your fingertips at any time that these devices provide. And so I think we're going to see, you know, particularly with some of the stuff coming on the market this year, we're going to see a much more rapid adoption and a lot of really interesting applications coming out. From a security standpoint, particularly BlackBerry has given people an opportunity to learn how to do security in a smart way for these smartphone platforms, because the BlackBerry has been available for a few years, and certainly the capabilities that they've provided from a security standpoint have become more sophisticated over time. And today, when you set up a BlackBerry Enterprise server and you allow BlackBerrys to access your network, you have a wide array of policy control capabilities at your fingertips with the BlackBerry Enterprise Server that you can push down to devices. You can control the password policies for the device itself and the timeout before the device locks. And those two things are very important, because if the phone is lost or stolen, you want to make sure that the screen locks and that there's a good password there so that whoever ends up with the device can't access the data inside of it. One of the other things you can do is wipe the devices remotely. So if you have a phone that gets stolen, you can send a message through the network to tell the phone to delete all of its data. So that's another way that you can protect yourself against data loss in the event that these phones are lost or stolen. One of the things that we recommend people do when they're deploying these in their enterprise is set up a process where employees who have their phone lost or stolen can call someone in IT and get them to disable the phone.
Is there a server that can support more of these OSs rather than just BlackBerry? Or do you have to have a separate server for each OS?
The way today, you have to have a separate server for each OS, technically. There's a BlackBerry Enterprise server. Apple is releasing a server for the iPhone. If you have Windows Mobile, you can run software on Windows Mobile that gives you access to Exchange, and you could run VPN clients on Windows Mobile that would give users internal access to your network. As far as I know, there is no sort of specific Windows Mobile Enterprise server that gives you the sort of policy control that you get with either the BlackBerry or the Apple alternatives.
And BlackBerry seems obviously to be most entrenched in the enterprise world. Do you see companies like Apple actually making some headway over BlackBerry, or is BlackBerry pretty much the stalwart in terms of security? And
well, there's a lot of excitement about Apple's technology, and their server provides a number of the security features that people rely on in the BlackBerry context. So there is a chance that Apple could steal some of their thunder. It remains to be seen.
Mm-hmm. And very briefly, we can just chat about Bluetooth dangers. Should companies ultimately be ordering their employees to turn off Bluetooth? Because we have heard about some of the dangers in the past.
I would say yes, and I personally disable Bluetooth when I get a new laptop or other device that supports it. It's just another network interface that could provide exposure, and lots of people don't think about it, and most people who have Bluetooth aren't actually using it.
You talked a lot about BlackBerry before, and BlackBerry talks about how its communications are encrypted. What does that exactly mean?
Well, the communications between the BlackBerry and the BlackBerry Enterprise server are encrypted. So when your device pulls email, all that email that comes down to the device from the server is encrypted between those two points. Of course, you know, when email goes out to its final destination, if it's not to someone who works for the same company, it's going to go out in the clear, usually. BlackBerries allow you to access internal network resources. That's the same in the case of Apple, and they use VPNs to do that, which are encrypted tunnels that go from the phone to a device at the enterprise. All of that traffic is encrypted as it crosses the internet.
How about deleting data from the smartphone? Do most smartphones have a method to wipe sensitive data for good?
Yes. So, the question is, do most? In the case of BlackBerries and iPhones, the answer is yes. From the enterprise server, you can wipe all of the data on the phone. And so that's why IT departments establish a contact point for people whose phones have been lost or stolen so that they can quickly contact IT and ask them to disable or wipe the contents of their phone. Because if you have an employee that loses one of these phones and it has a lot of sensitive email on it and it has access to corporate intranet, you know, the cost of the device, you know, $200 to $400, you know, obviously not a loss you want to take, but that cost is a minor thing in comparison to the exposure that you could face if the person who steals or finds that phone has full access to your corporate intranet. IT departments should think about how they limit the access that they are providing to these phones, you know, particularly over the VPN. I think it makes sense to use firewall and intrusion prevention at those the VPN endpoint. The firewall should constrain the intranet sites that the phone has access to sites that you really would want to use from a mobile device. There may be lots of other resources on your intranet that really don't make sense as things that people would want to use from their mobile phone. And if you close off access to them, no one's going to complain, and it just prevents a potential security situation that you don't want to face. In addition, it makes sense to use an intrusion prevention system to inspect traffic that's coming from these mobile devices. In 2006 at Black Hat, which is a security conference in Las Vegas, one of the speakers unveiled what's called a BlackBerry proxy. And this was a piece of malware. A bad guy would entice someone to install on their BlackBerry, maybe claiming it's a neat video game or something. And when they installed it, it creates a proxy server so that the bad guy could connect to the BlackBerry from the internet and use it to leapfrog into the BlackBerry user's corporate intranet. And they could then access any resource that user had access to over the BlackBerry. And so that's a very good reason to use IPS to make sure that attacks are not being launched from these BlackBerries into or other smartphones into a corporate internal network, and also use firewalling to limit the exposure that the intranet has to these devices.
And now the news. A dangerous error in the core element of how the internet runs was patched in a coordinated release of updates issued by the vendors that sell DNS servers. Microsoft, Cisco Systems, ISC Bind, and others are issuing the patches this week. Few details were released about the flaw. The patches implement port randomization to correct the issue. IT administrators are being advised to evaluate their networks and locate their name servers in the next 30 days. Some servers will not be automatically updated by the patch release. An automated DNS checker is available and could be used to check if the server is affected by the flaw. In other news, Microsoft is investigating reports of active attacks on two zero-day flaws. The zero days are in Microsoft Word and a snapshot viewer for Microsoft Access. Microsoft issued an advisory Monday warning customers of active targeted attacks on the snapshot viewer ActiveX control from Microsoft Access. The snapshot viewer is used to view database report snapshots that are created with any version of Microsoft Access. The flaw could allow an attacker to gain user rights on a system, according to Microsoft. As a workaround, IT admins can use a feature in Internet Explorer to prevent an ActiveX control from ever being loaded by the Internet Explorer HTML rendering engine. Microsoft also confirmed a zero-day flaw in Microsoft Office Word 2002 Service Pack 3. There are no workarounds for that flaw. Microsoft advised customers to check their firewall settings and educate end users about clicking on links and email from unknown senders. Well, that does it for this edition of Security Wire Weekly. Be sure to check out our previous podcast by going to our podcast landing page at searchsecurity.com/podcast. And as always, you can get the latest security news and information at our news page at searchsecurity.com/news. For now, I'm Rob Westervelt. Have a great day.